Our message today is titled, It is God's World After All. After all is defined as being despite problems or doubts and in view of all circumstances. Despite problems or doubts that you might have in this world, it is God's world. Considering all circumstances, both here in Hong Kong, in Syria, all around this world, it is God's world. First Thessalonians 5:18, Paul writes, he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's so quick to read, but it's so hard to do. This is God's will for us, that we be thankful in all circumstances. As we look at the news, whether it's on TV, whether it's on the internet, whether it's over the radio, it's easy for us to feel that every day is actually quite bad and that things are trending downward. How low can we go? Some people think back to the old days and they say, well, you know what, in the old days, everything was better because everything was worse. You've heard those stories, right? Your grandpa that used to walk to school 5 miles every morning in the cold, uphill, and then walked home after school 5 miles or 6 miles after school, back home, uphill again, right? Remember those stories. Things were worse then, but it was better than it is today. Some of us are feeling in this way because of what psychologists call the availability heuristic. That is our tendency to estimate the probability of an event occurring by how readily we can call to mind examples of such an event. So if we can easily think about something that's happened, if it comes to mind very easily, we think that must be happening all the time. If our news is full of school shootings, we believe that schools everywhere are in imminent danger. A couple of decades ago, parents were terrified of stories about child abductions by horrible strangers, and they took extreme measures to make sure that their children are safe and protected. Years later, we learned that the vast majority of these snatchings were by an aggrieved, divorced parent, and we shouldn't have worried all that much. There's a Harvard cognitive scientist, Steven Pinker, and he tells us that majorities in polls taken in 14 countries from the United States to Thailand believe that the world has gotten worse and is heading ever downward. And when you listen to those polls, it's easy to agree with that, right? Well, what Dr. Pinker set out to do is to find out scientifically, is this true or not? Are things getting worse or are things getting better? And this is what he found. Healthcare around the globe, however, has reduced infant and maternal mortality and increased life expectancy. Children today are generally better fed, better housed, and better educated than in the past. Workers make more money, they are injured less often, and they retire earlier. Millions and millions of people do not live in abject poverty anymore. Violent crimes are down, so are hate crimes, and so are accidental deaths. And despite our widespread sense of being overworked, men and women both have more leisure time today than their parents did, than their grandparents did. Pinker true to his secular humanist convictions, says this is all because of the spread of modernity, technology, liberal democracy, capitalism, the welfare state. These are all fruit of the Enlightenment. That is his thesis. That is his answer as to why things are better today. Well, everyone is entitled to his own opinion, and his opinion has been derived from those facts. But the Christian sociologist, Rodney Stark, looks at the same facts and has a different opinion. He wrote a book after he's written many books actually about the greater cultural force of Christianity. A Christianity that provided the Enlightenment with its worldview, with its values, and the very science by which it has changed the world. However dim Christianity may now appear to many moderns, was still indebted to it. So what am I saying? Things are getting better, and things are getting worse. As was written in the Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. But in this time that we live in, where it is the best and where it is the worst, we are called to be thankful. You know the story of Job, who was afflicted to such a large degree, and then the scriptures tell us that he scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. So we accept only good things from God and nothing bad? The good and bad, everything that comes to us, amidst all of that, we should thank the Lord. That is the challenge for us as Christians. Let us pray. Father God, we know that you have made this world. We know that you are present in this world, and we know that you love this world. And so, Lord, we know that when things happen to us, good or bad, it's all under your control. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be thankful in and among all these things that happen to us. Would you bless our time together, Lord? Would you encourage us? Would you fill our hearts, Lord, with your presence and with your hope, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Three reasons, I think, why we can be thankful in all circumstances. As we think about this world that God, that belongs to God. Three reasons. Firstly, this is a world that God has made and that he sustains. Secondly, God is present in this world. And then thirdly, God loves this world. Not a utopian world, a world that you think would be nice. This world, as it is, he loves dearly. Let's start with the first. God created this world and he sustains it. There was a beginning of time and space. The Bible tells us so. The scientists tell us the same thing. There was a beginning of time and space. God created this world. When God created this world, he made it good. After his creation, he stood back and he said, "This is very good." It is in this very good world that we live. And I think when we start to look for those good signs, for the good things that are happening in this world, we will see them. But at the same time, this world is not a good world without any blemishes. We do have problems. some big ones, some small ones. But it's in among these, this goodness and these problems that we find ourselves. And it is as we turn our eyes to Jesus that we can have confidence that in this good world that God has made, we will be able to thank Him in all circumstances. In Psalm 33, the psalmist says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the people of the world revere Him, for He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." It is God's world. He made it. He sustains it. The second reason that we can be thankful in all circumstances is because God is present in this world. He did not just make this world, put some scientific laws in place to govern this world, and then sat back to see what would happen. No. He created this world, and then He inserted Himself into this world. He is engaged in this world each and every day, hour by hour, minute by minute. It is God's world, and His presence is with us. His presence was there in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. He was present in the incarnation of Jesus. He is present today by His Holy Spirit who is amongst us. God is omnipresent, which means that He is everywhere. And yet, there is a manifest presence of God that has a different quality to His omnipresence. So God is omnipresent. He is wherever there is a square inch of this earth, He is there. His reign is, and rule is over all. There is no place that is outside of God's presence. But the quality of His presence in the dark corners where nefarious acts are committed is different than His presence here with us today as we come to worship Him and we come to lift Him up. It's very easy for us to think that He's not out there somewhere where I work or where I play or where I live. But He's only here. The key for us to understand is that God's manifest presence is there where we tend to His omnipresence. When we are in a place where we tend to God's presence, where we submit to Him, where we declare Him to be Lord, where we ask for Him to send His kingdom, where we ask for His will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, in those places, God's presence becomes manifest. When we come to this table, His presence becomes manifest for us. And I'm going to ask my good friend Hugh to give us a short testimony of a situation where he was encountering someone who is not a believer, but a place, a situation where he is tending to the presence of God in the life of that person. And I've asked him to share that because it is so normal and yet it is so pregnant with the possibilities of God's work to be done in the life of that person. So you, if you would come, there's a mic over here.
A few weeks ago, I shared this story with Brian and he asked if I would share it. He's been talking about evangelism. When I was first saved, my view of evangelism was to go out onto the street and shout at people as they were going by. Street evangelism to me was standing on the corner and you would think I would quit when they threw eggs at us. We were a little bit more stubborn back then. But 3 years ago, my wife and I sold our house and we moved into a condo in Guilford. And just before we moved in, our daughter moved into a condo just a block and a half away from us. And it so happened that across the hall from where she moved in was a woman who was 86 years old at this point now, who is from Holland. Her name is Anne. She was raised in the Dutch Reformed Church, and she's had a tough life. She lost her husband 8 years ago, whom she loved. She lost her daughter 6 years ago, which broke her heart. And as Rebecca is across the hall from her, Rebecca has come to know her very well. And some time ago, Anne had a fall, and Rebecca took her to the hospital and spent all the time when she was in the hospital with her. And Rebecca has become like a daughter to her. She loves Rebecca, and Rebecca loves her. Anyways, she had to go to see a doctor. She fell not long ago and hurt her shoulder, and she had to go to a doctor down in White Rock. And she didn't know how she was going to get there, and Rebecca phoned me and said, "Dad, would you be able to take her to the doctor?" And I said, "I would love to." So Anne said, "You would?" And I said, "Yeah." So we've gone out with her to dinner and things like that. So I pull up and I take her to the doctor in White Rock. And while we're going, she's telling me this story of her husband and her daughter and all of these things. And we're talking back and forth. And we go down to the doctor. And on the way back, we stop and get a cup of tea. And we get back to her house. And as we're going back and forth, we're sharing these things about our lives. And as we got back to her house, I had been thinking all the way along about Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are burdened and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and gentle." And you need to get saved. You're a sinner. That's not what Jesus did. You'll find rest for your souls. So before she left, I reached out and I put my hand on her arm and I said, "Anne, would you allow me to pray for you?" She said, "Yes. And if you will, just for half a moment, I'd just like to tell you the prayer I pray." So I bowed my head and she bowed her head and I said, "Father in heaven, I want to thank you right now that as we sit here in this car, you are present here with us and you have been listening to our conversation. You know the pain that Anne has experienced losing her husband and the broken heart that she has experienced in losing her daughter. You've heard as we've talked about the pain that we have been talking about. And you are not unaware of it. And the fact is, Lord, that you have strategically placed her across the hall from Rebecca. And that you have allowed Rebecca to be there, to be in the hospital with her. And you have allowed us to be across the street from her. And that you have given us the privilege to just love her. And Father, we thank you more than this. I want to thank you that you love her and that you love us and that you have given us the privilege to just be together today to express your love and to express our love for her. And we give you thanks that Jesus loved us so much that he would be willing to die for us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I looked over at Anne. Folks, the tears were just pouring down her face. She couldn't even say thank you properly. She was just broken to tears and she grabbed my arm and she said, "Seth." She She got up and walked out. You don't have to preach. You just have to share the love of Christ with somebody like that. Do you know what she did? First thing when my daughter got home, she went across the hall. She said, "Rebecca, there's something about you and your parents and that girl that you got from your church to come and clean my apartment. You're different than all of the other people that I know." And you know what Rebecca said? "It's because we love you." That's a testimony for the love of Christ, folks. And that's what we want to do as we share and we talk about evangelism that Brian's.
Thank you, Hugh, for sharing that. What I really like about that is I like the way that you got connected to this lady, which was so organic. And the way that he engaged with her, which was so normal in a sense. He didn't have to memorize 25 scriptures and arguments, and if she says that, I'm going to say that, and if she does, then I'm going to say, and he didn't have to do all that stuff. What he did is something that all of us can do. Whether you feel that you're a quick thinker or not, whether you feel that you're a debater or not, whether you feel that you're an evangelist or not, this is something that all of us can do. And I think what we need to do as a people of God is I think we need to be more and more aware of these kind of opportunities. Open our eyes, open our ears. Just be mindful of people around us, of opportunities that God could give us. Because God is in this world, you see. God is working in that lady's life. As you speak to her, she could react to that in different ways, but the way that she did react was the way because God was working in her heart. The Spirit of God is on the move. When we talk about evangelism, we're not talking about something that God gave us to do and He's standing far apart. We're talking about something where God is intimately involved. It is His world. He cares about this world. And He cares about each and every person in this world. And that's what we should know whenever we want to engage someone in evangelism, whether it's helping them, whether it's speaking to them, whether it's praying for them, in whatever way it is, we should know and understand that we are the context within which we are engaging is we are engaging in the context of God's world that He made and where He is present and He is working in that person's life. Whether you can see it or not. In Psalm 33, the psalmist says, "No king is saved by the size of his army, no warrior escapes by his great strength, or horse is a vain hope for deliverance, despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine." His unfailing love is on this world. That is the third point, that God loves this world. That His unfailing love is on this world. "For God so loved this world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him may not perish, but have everlasting life." We serve a God who made a good world, who is engaged and present in this good world that He made, and who loves this world. Those three things should give us the courage to engage in evangelism. Should make us know that we are not alone as we reach out to folk. But we are doing what God wants us to do. And we are working with the way that God's working in this world through His Holy Spirit present amongst us. The challenge for us many times is to tend to that presence. When we come to this table here at church, We tend to the presence of God. We specifically think about what Christ did for us. We specifically pray that He be present to us as we eat and as we drink. What would happen if we tend to His presence out there in the world where we meet folks? At school, at work, places where we frequent. I'm going to end, but I want to share just a short story of a preacher. I was at a seminar and he was telling us about his own adventures in tending to the presence of the Lord. He would go to McDonald's and he would often sit there in the morning, just have some coffee, to share a table with whoever God would send. He learns about sharing table here in the church. He learns about tending to the presence of God here in the church. But he takes that, what he has learned here, he takes out there into the world. And he sits there at the table in McDonald's and he prays and he says, "Lord, could you send someone? Would you send someone that you are already working in and have them come and share my table?" And he has endless stories of how God has answered his prayers. But I just want to share one very, very brief story about a man that came and sat down with him. The man who had a lot of problems with his estranged wife. He was divorced and he couldn't get access to his children. She wouldn't let him come near the house or see the kids in any way. And as Christmas was approaching, this was very heavy on his heart. And he was willing to share this. And so the preacher said, "You know what? Why don't we ask the God who made this world, why don't we ask Him to be present here with us? And why don't we ask Him for His will to be done and for His kingdom to come in this situation?" And the man said, "Yeah, why not?" And they could pray. And then he said, "Why don't you start by just writing a letter to your wife? Just express some of what's on your heart." And the man did that. And during the course of a year, God worked in that relationship. So it was healed. So the next year by Christmas, he was allowed to be with his family. The presence of God, the power of God, is around us, is available to us. But we need to tend to that. We need to pray for that. So that that can happen. So that His will can be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's available to us in the church and outside of the church. This is God's world, after all. Let's pray. Father God, we bless You and we thank You that this is a good world that You have made. But Lord, as we think about evangelism and we think about Your heart for this world and the way that You love this world and the way that You are present in this world and the way that You are working in this world, even though many times that we don't see that, I pray, Lord, that You would give us eyes of faith. I pray You would open our understanding. Work in our hearts, Lord, so that we can have this confidence and know that this is Your world. And Lord, I pray that You would excite us with the possibilities to see You at work in this world. I pray, Lord, that we would tend to Your presence in our relationships with our own families, with our friends, and with strangers. That we would tend to Your presence as we do here in church, that we would do that outside in the world. so that your name will be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.